What's up, everybody? Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Podcast. I am Will Pruitt. I am here to take you on a weird, wild, and wonderful journey through TNA Impact Wrestling, the April 18th, 2013 episode. It's April 19th, and by golly, am I enjoying today. I live in Southern California. It's a beautiful 70, 72 degrees out. Beach looks amazing. What do you say we crank through this so I can go and have some fun? This show, it was kind of the fallout from last week's. It was the same set of tapings, Corpus Christi. And one good thing that TNA did here, a lot of the talent that was on those that first set of Corpus Christi tapings was hardly on that second set. And I know this is also due to budgetary reasons, and they're trying to pay guys once for working. Like, all of that stuff, I'm sure, is involved. But I do have to say, man, it's really cool to see this, to see a lot of the talent alternate. You didn't have the heavy focus on Bully Ray. Jeff Hardy's out injured. You didn't have Hulk Hogan was not on this set. It's kind of strange that they're like, we're coming at you once again from Corpus Christi. There's been no effort made to change how the fans look. Like, there was one guy especially, I think it was like a Pittsburgh Steelers Super Bowl champion t-shirt with caricatures of each guy on the team. Or whatever it was, I couldn't quite see what the team was, but in the front row center, white t-shirt, yellow writing, man, I needed him to put on a different shirt for that second set of tapings. He was very recognizable. They even showed the replay of him reacting to something from the first show that the second show, I would have been totally chill with them. I would have been totally chill with them not allowing that, but whatevs. TNA should hand out t-shirts is what I'm getting at here. Give away some, like, Sting ones or some other shirts that you know aren't selling. No one's buying those. So, this show, it featured Kurt Angle versus Wes Briscoe and Garrett Bischoff, and AJ Styles versus James Storm. AJ Styles versus James Storm was set up last week. We saw a little promo for Angle and Bischoff and Briscoe as well. Odd. And we also had, what is it called? Mickie James versus Miss Tessmacher, heavily promoted. Okay. Interesting show. In that a lot of things seem disjointed. One thing that they did, they only replayed the Aces and Eights Bully Ray heel turn from lockdown once. That's a good thing for TNA. When they don't replay it seven times, I get really excited. I thought that maybe last week would start a new chapter, and they did replay the hammer shot at the end of the match and everything a few times, but I understood that this week. Yeah, so let's get into it and try and dig through and find some fun meaning in this show. But before we do, let's find some fun meaning in becoming a ProWrestling.net member. You see, guys, ProWrestling.net, it's a website. I hope you've been there. It's fantastic. All the wrestling news you need, a lot of great analysis and commentary from a great team of people. Jason Powell and Chris Shore headed up. Myself, Jake Barnett, Ryan Kester, Jeff Lutz, Darren Gutteridge, Zim. All of these guys writing for the site. One of the unique things about this wrestling website is that we're not a generic internet think tank. You don't have just six blogs about why Triple H is ruining wrestling because he calls himself the game and that's rude because people don't like Triple H. You get a lot of very varied viewpoints, a lot of intelligent discourse, and really just a lot of smart people. Now, if you want to become a ProWrestling.net member and get ad-free access to all that, plus access to .net audio, the all-access side, you're getting a fraction of what we do. What we're good at is great audio, great interviews from Jason Powell and Chris Shore, great stuff, great news and analysis from Jason Powell and Chris Shore every week on .net Weekly. If I may say so myself, the best wrestling podcast out there, the .net Countdown with myself and Jake Barnett. We've done all access episodes. You guys can actually judge if it's the best out there or not. But Jake and I have fun, and really that's all I care about. Jason Powell's Q&A, where he will answer some questions, ask his sources about things, and help you out. Plus, audio reviews of every major show, every major pay-per-view. We do a lot of work here for our .NET members. If you're thinking, how do I become a .NET member? Get that audio access. Get access to the .NET forum. Interact with myself, all the folks on staff, plus all of the .NET members, a very nice, well-educated group of wrestling fans. Simple. Head on over to ProWrestling.net, click that membership link on the right-hand side of the page. Boom goes the dynamite. For as low as $5.50 a month, you can become a member. That's if you take the annual option. You can also sign up for 6 months, or if you just want to try it out. See if you like it. See if .NET fits in with your lifestyle. Boom. $7.50 for that month. Hook it up. Check it out, please. And if you do, please join the forum. We should let you know it's a separate sign-up process to join the forum. Use your same username and password if you want, but it's a separate process. But we love having new people in the forum. We love talking to you guys. And hell, even if you are going, oh, that's a little bit too much of a commitment for me, leave us a review on iTunes. Hit us up via email. Like, talk to us. We love the interaction. Guys, we appreciate you going to the site, reading our apps, listening to our podcasts, anything you do. We appreciate it. So thank you so much for that. And please make sure to check out the website. Now, let's get into it. This show, we opened up with Tanae Kennelly, Taz at ringside, once again from Corpus Christi, Texas. And we got another recap video of Jeff Hardy going to the hospital. We had a few of those. One of the weirdest ones to me was actually later in the show. And it established different classes of people in TNA. And what I mean by different classes of people is that there are heels in TNA, and then there are ultra heels in TNA. People like the Aces and Eights, ultra heels. They're the worst. Then you had Gail Kim and Bobby Roode talking about Jeff Hardy going to the hospital. And those are heels. Those are just regular heels. So you're kind of establishing, oh, well, these guys are bad, all right, and you shouldn't like them. But, man, these guys are real bad. It's a little strange to me. I'm not a huge, I don't love it all that much, that idea of heels and ultra heels. But then again, I'm a weird guy. So backstage, Devon asked Garrett and Wes if they were ready to go. And they replied, like, Wes was like, yeah, I'm a Briscoe. I'm ready to beat up Kurt Angle. I beat him twice already. Huh. That's my Wes Briscoe impression. It's really good. And then Garrett basically said the same thing. So we've got Wes and Garrett now. They're ready to go, according to Devon. And Devon said, no, you better be ready. Like, roll ready. Okay. Then we got our first match of the night, Garrett Bischoff and Wes Briscoe versus Kurt Angle in a handicap match. We went to commercial in the middle of this one. Basically, it was Angle trying to get the upper hand, not doing super great, but trying to get the upper hand here. And Wes and Garrett finding ways to cheat to keep Angle from that upper hand, to keep him on the lower hand, if you will. So this was Anderson running down, distracting the ref. Devon ran in with a chain or something. Like, basically, oh no, Garrett got a chain, hit Angle with it, was able to pin him. Garrett Bischoff and Wes Briscoe win via the shadiest means possible. Neat. Then the Aces and Eights came out and beat up Angle. Isn't that what happened? I'm pretty sure that's what happened. Relying on recaps from people. It's rough, guys. It's rough sometimes. But yeah, Aces and Eights beat up Angle. They did, at some point on this show, I don't remember if it was to Angle or to someone else, like, they did a Shield power bomb almost. Like, they did a double power bomb with D'Lo sitting there cheering him on, and I was like, come on, guys, stop that. Stop that action right now. You are not the Shield. In fact, the Shield is a well-booked thing. I should have a blog out this weekend, by the way, to, you know, toot my own blog horn a little bit. Talking about one of my big issues with the faction warfare happening right now in TNA and Ring of Honor. I haven't blogged on TNA and Ring of Honor in a long while. And one of the key things that they're doing right now is they've got these factions. Like, that's the main story. It's Scum and it's the Aces and Eights. And as a little preview of the blog, basically, the baby faces in the story, they aren't actual wrestlers. They're promotions and just kind of that weird thing that they are doing. Yeah. So Anderson then cut a promo about how it's going to be a bad night for anyone not wearing a cut. Because a vest is called a cut by biker gangs, and we're authentic because Eric Bischoff gets off to biker gangs. Then we saw an X-Division championship match, a little video package going. It was Zima Ion and Petey Williams basically saying, well, it's hard to win a triple threat match, let me tell you. Ion and Williams would go on then to face Kenny King for the X Division Championship. Kenny King was also in that video package of heels that missed Jeff Hardy. Again, weird. Weird. You know, create some separation there. Zema Ion, BD Williams, and Kenny King for the X Division Championship. Kenny King had new entrance music that had, like, a royal sound at the beginning, and then more Kenny King. Like, more, I don't know. It wasn't the Love Potion number 9 ripoff that they were doing, so that's a bummer. Weird, though. Again, what Kenny King is doing is odd in TNA, and what they keep doing with him is odd. Zema Ion, Petey Williams, and Kenny King for the X Division Championship. Yeah, basic X Division Spot Fest. That's what they do at this point. The triple threat matches are X Division Spot Fest. Kenny King was able to get the win by pinning Zema Ion. So Zema Ion now goes down to the secondary triple threat match, while Kenny King and Petey Williams remain in the X Division title triple. Kenny King and Petey Williams remain in the X Division title triple threat match. Early in the match, King was hit with the Canadian Destroyer. This match was kind of a happenstance where things are happening, and King was just kind of able to get the win. Petey Williams used a sharpshooter. That happened. Oh, that's the finish. Petey Williams had Zema Ion in the sharpshooter. Kenny King was able to hit a running knee on Petey Williams and roll up Zema Ion for the pin. Fine. Backstage, Magnus cut a promo. Magnus, great on the mic. I don't understand what TNA is doing with Magnus in the fact that they're not pushing him. Like, it's weird. But Magnus cut a promo about how, you know, he was going to get some vengeance on Aces and Eights, to put it very plainly. Magnus going to beat up some Aces and Eights. Also, in the X Division title match, we had the X-Cam, which is the... So, I watched WCW in the early 90s. I watch a lot of footage just for funsies sometimes. I'm like, man, I'm going to put in this WCW DB and giggle a lot and have some fun with it and watch some great matches on occasion. You remember the Referee Cam? The camera strapped to the referee's head because WCW was bringing you an innovative new way to peek inside the ring back in, like, 1991, 1992. One of those desperation things they did. TNA, 20 years later, has decided, holy shit, the Referee Cam was a great idea. We gotta do that. We gotta get our Referee Cam on. So they're calling it the X Cam. And it's the same thing. It's like, man, do you love wrestling but wish it was yellower? Check out this referee camera, because that shit gets yellow. Yeah, like, that's the only difference in that camera. It's weird. It's a silly little gimmick. I don't want to go off, you know. It's not something that I'm angry about. It's just something that is pointless to me. And it's something that it's like, they're gimmicking up the X Division so much with, well, now it's all triple threat matches, and you win a qualifier, and if you're pinned in the qualifier, you're eliminated, but if you're not pinned in the qualifier, you get to stay in the qualifier, and if you win the qualifier, you go up to the championship match, and if you're in the championship match, and you're pinned, you're eliminated, back down to the qualifier, but if you're not pinned in the championship match, well then, you get to stay in the championship match, and another person that wins a qualifier can come up, like, it's gimmicky and kind of weird. And then they're like, oh, by the way, look at what the referee sees. This guy's doing a backflip. That's my impression of, like, TNA trying to explain to you why you need to watch the Referee Cam or the Referee Cam. Guys, I have some breaking news right now. I have TLC on in the background, and they're doing a Breaking Amish show again. And it's the same Amish coming back. This is really important to me. Possibly more important than Impact. You guys think Jason would let me do a Breaking Amish audio every week? That would be sweet. Man, I could kick ass at some Breaking Amish audio. I would really rock that. I wonder if he would just dedicate a section of the site, like breakingamish.net. I wonder if I could get that from him and just... It's an offshoot of prowrestling.net, and all we do is talk about Breaking Amish. Because, man, I would write a hell of a Pruitt's Pause article on Breaking Amish, let me tell you. So, yeah, the Referee Cam, though. What the H word. So, just to clarify, Kenny King, still X Division champion. Petey Williams, still in the X Division championship match. Zema Ion drops down to the qualifier. I forget who the other wrestler in the qualifier is. But, so now Zema Ion's going to be in that against another wrestler and a random guy they bring in. Fingers crossed for Jigsaw. Yeah, I think they call him Jigsaw. No, they call him Rubik's. Fingers crossed for Rubik's. That's who I want. I want all the Rubik's I can get. Backstage, Brooke Hogan talking with Chrissy Hemme, who I guess built the new knockout site. Like, they didn't clarify that. It was just like, hey, you did a really good job on this website. I mean, everything looks so sexy and good. Hey, yeah, thanks. I did do a good job on the website. So, talking to them. Then Mickie James and Brooke Tessmacher come in. And Mickie James and Brooke Tessmacher would be fighting later that night. And there's this odd tension between them. And we'll get into that odd tension in the match. There's this odd thing where it's like, I kind of think one of them is turning. And they were playing up a future Mickie James turn at a certain point. Like, they were really saying, this Mickie, basically saying this Mickie James turn is going to happen at a certain point. Like, telling you, telegraphing it like crazy, Mickie James is turning. And then she disappeared. So I think they're going to play up into that, but I'm not sure. And this was Tara's off TV. I was listening to .NET Weekly earlier, and they mentioned Tara. This was Mickie James and Miss Tessmacher talking to Brooke, and Brooke basically saying, well, I like you two girls. I think you two deserve title shots. You know, the winner of this match, they're going to get that title shot next week. You're going to get to take on Velvet Sky. So then Mickie James gets up and leaves, and Brooke goes, and Brooke Tessmacher, and she was called Brooke by Brooke Hogan. So Brooke Hogan still knows that her name is Brooke and that there's two Brooks. God, I'm confused. Brooke tells Brooke that she's sorry about what Bully did to her, and that they're all standing by her and all of the Knockouts support her, and if you ever need a hug or anything, she can call her. And she got that hug right then, but all the Knockouts are friends, basically, is what we're getting at here. So, Devon then made his entrance. Magnus came out, and he was attacked from behind by Doc and Nux. And they double choke slam Magnus on the ramp. Samoa Joe came out and made the save. And they just ran off when Joe arrived, which was kind of odd. I do hope this is leading to Joe and Magnus reforming as a tag team at a certain point, because those guys need to be a tag team. Joe and Magnus, man, they are so good together. They're fantastic. So we got a video, you know, moments ago, this occurred. Then Joe cut a backstage promo, and Joe's promos now, I mean, he gets the intensity really well. Here's the problem in Aces and Eights, and this Aces and Eights feud, and this is part of what that blog I wrote is about, so I'm not going to spoil it now. Everything in this feud, every babyface feels interchangeable. Joe is angry at Aces and Eights, but you know what? Next week it might be Kurt Angle. Next week it might be Magnus. Week after that, hell, let's put Hernandez in there, and he's angry at Aces and Eights now. Like, everyone is angry at Aces and Eights, but no one is all that upset. You know, no one, everything's interchangeable. No one, it's not, they're attacking Kurt Angle because of who Kurt Angle is and what he means, and Kurt Angle himself needs to get the vengeance. No, I'm not cheering for Kurt Angle to get vengeance. I'm not cheering for Kurt Angle's story. I'm not a part of Kurt Angle's story. I'm a part of TNA's story, and I'm cheering for TNA because TNA needs to be the be-all end-all here. So yeah, that's kind of my broader issue with it, and it's the same thing with Ring of Honor and Jay Briscoe winning the World Championship. We'll talk about that again in this blog. I'm probably spoiling it all here. It's fresh in my mind because I just wrote it, and I think it's one of the biggest flaws with faction warfare feuds. And it's one of the ways that the Shield has done things right in WWE by going, it's not a faction, it's a group, and it's three people in this group, and these three people have this goal and this ideal. Yeah. Video recap the AJ Styles storyline. Yeah. And then we saw a video with Velvet Sky hurting her knee, and Zim pointed this one out to me and mentioned it, and I had to laugh with Velvet Sky backstage trying to sell a knee injury, going, it's going to blow up. I think it's going to blow up. My knee is blowing up. It's going to blow. It's going to blow. Like, I felt like it was insensitive and really stupid. You know, and if anything, just going, it hurts like this. Oh my God, I can't take it. There have been weird reports about the Velvet Sky injury too. Like, there have been some reports on you know, where it's like, she's back to work, and she's working the tour. Oh no, her knees still hurt. Like, what is it with the Velvet Sky injury? What's going on? Is it kayfabe? Is it not kayfabe? What are we doing here? So Miss Tessmacher versus Mickie James happened next. And for the entire match, A, it was slow as hell. Like, this was one of the slowest matches I've ever seen. ODB is still your knockouts referee. And there were so many segments of this match where it's like, they're fighting. ODB's going to get in the middle and break it up and send him back to the ring. They're fighting. ODB's going to get in the middle and break it up and send him back to the ring. There was not a clear goal on this show. There was not a clear idea of what they wanted to do here. And it hurt. It hurt the show. I was really not a big fan of this Miss Tessmacher versus Mickey James match. It was a bad match. And I thought, I'm higher on Miss Tessmacher's work than most, I think. I think she can work really well, especially with someone good in there and a good story to tell. This match just looked poorly constructed. Like, whoever the agent for this match was just, they had a vision in their head of, I think, them being really evenly matched, but they didn't play it out in a convincing way, and this was Mickey James defeating Miss Tessmacher. She was able to roll her up in 7 minutes and 39 seconds. No commercial in the match, just 7 minutes of straight knockouts action, and you'd think that'd be really good, but it was not. Not a good match, but Mickey James won it, and I think there's this odd tension that Mickey James is going to turn. They went to a video package then, AJ Styles standing down the hall from Bad Influence, and Bad Influence going, yeah, we got AJ, we're going to do it. Joseph Park then, in the bathroom, talking about the annulment. D-Von walked in, they beat up Joseph Park, threw D-Von and Bully Ray beat up Joseph Park, threw him in the shower, turned on the shower, and walked off for getting into family business. Testify, my brother. And then they went to commercial, came back. Mickey James cut a promo talking about winning it, talking about being misused for the last year and a half, that people have forgotten how great she is, that she is one of the best women's wrestlers ever, and saying, Velvet Sky, you gotta defend that title. Hurt, girl. You have to. That's part of being a champion, and if you can't do it, well, that's too bad. But so it's kind of, I think they're going with the turn for Mickey. Tara's taken out. She was the lead heel in the knockouts division for a while. Put Mickey James in there. It's interchangeable. TNA focuses on four knockouts at a time, and then kind of gets rid of him. Austin Aries and Bobby Roode. Or no. So Bad Influence then came to the ring. We saw a video of the tag title change. Bad Influence comes to the ring. Daniels plugs their merch, says, you know, we're going to be, basically, Daniels and Kazarian are going to be tag team champions again. AJ Styles is going to join them. Kazarian cut another good promo, doing the best work of his career right now. Daniels doing great work as well. Like, this team is one of the most entertaining things on Impact on a daily basis, and it's amazing. Aries and Bobby Roode cut him off, said, no, we're the number one contenders, we've got this. It was weird, too, because it seemed like they were arguing about it, like there was no set number one contender, and there wasn't a denouement, there wasn't a resolution to this, where they said, this guy's the number one contender, or this team is the number one contender. Yet, at the end of it, Mike Tenay went, oh, and now we know that, you know, Bobby Roode and Austin Aries are going to get their tag title shot. And I thought, are we building to another triple threat? And or are there really just three teams in Impact? Like, is that the thing? Are we just so short on tag teams that we've got three of them and we have this weird three-way feud going on that it just keeps going? And there really are only three teams in Impact Wrestling. You know, they bring in these gut check guys. Why not do a tag team gut check? Why not, you know, they seem to be content in the X Division with just bringing in guys for shots. Like, just, oh, yeah, and we're going to bring Petey Williams in for a couple of shows, but not really put him in the division. Why not start bringing in indie tag teams and doing that? I assume, you know, maybe things are sour between Ring of Honor and TNA at the moment, so the Briscoes may not be able to. But, man, all of those Dragon Gate tag teams, you know, bring in Johnny Gargano and Chuck Taylor, who I know don't team in Dragon Gate, but I think are still teaming on some parts of the indie scene. Bring in, like, Ricochet and AR Fox. I'd bring in tag teams off of the indies and just be like, guys, these guys are great. They've proven themselves. We're gonna put them in a number one contenders match or have a nice little tag team tournament. These teams are getting a chance, like you did for the X Division at a certain point. This is doable. This is absolutely doable. Instead, TNA is just like, three teams, can't lose. Or, I don't know, put Joe and Magnus in the tag division. Put Nux and, what's-his-face in the... Put Nux and Doc in the tag team division. Call them Doc Nux or something. Doc Nuts. Doc Nux. Nux Doc. I don't know. Figure out a cute name. Knox. Yeah, combine it into Knox and then let WWE sue you. It'll be great. Well, but those guys in the tag division, like, you can have quite a few tag teams here. The problem with putting an Aces and Ace team in the tag division is that then suddenly your heel teams are pseudo babyface teams. They're mid-ground tweeners because I'm supposed to boo them unless they're against Aces and Eights, and I'm supposed to cheer the H word out of them. TNA booking, man. It gets weird. Maybe, oh no, that's Johnny Curtis's catchphrase. TNA couldn't use it gets weird. But this segment, basically, it was the heel teams arguing, it was entertaining, it was funny, and then Bad Influence started backing away because Chavo and Hernandez had come down, and Rude and Aries didn't see them, and they thought they were winning the argument, so they were like, come on, let's do it! Rude and Aries were challenging Bad Influence. Chavo and Hernandez are right behind him. They turn around and get beat up by Chavo and Hernandez, or they slip out of the ring. And Chavo picks up the mic and goes, well, this means that we're the best, and holds up the tag titles. And you go, oh my God, Chavo, you're bad. And that was the segment. And the entire tag division in TNA. Brill. Somewhere, I guess they announced it. You know, Tanae again said... Tanae again said, oh, well, it looks like we're getting a tag title rematch. So that's happening. Then we cut to the pre-tape with Bobby Roode, Kenny King, and Gail Kim. The TNA heels going, man, we're really worried about Jeff Hardy. But, you know, I get it, and it's this weird thing where I understand what they're doing. I really do. I get it. But on the other side of things, I go, yeah, but you're doing it wrong. And that makes me sad as a fan of this product and as someone that wants it to succeed. You're doing weird things. There are enough baby faces on the roster to talk about Jeff Hardy. Yeah. So then we got a pre-tape with Matt Morgan. And one of the funniest things in this, it's a pre-tape. Hey, Matt Morgan now is like spiking the front of his hair like... It's like he had a good look a couple weeks ago with the bigger beard and normal hair. Now he's spiking the front of his hair and his beard is getting bushier. And Matt Morgan is like going for roided up Eric Young. I think that's the look that Matt Morgan is going for now. It's like Eric Young, if he did roids and was on stilts. But we had Matt Morgan talking about the mistakes that Hogan made. And he's like, yeah, now the leader of Aces of Eights has it. And I'm like, who... I know it's just like one word of instead of and, but it sounded so weird. It's a pre-tape. Stop him and go, hey, Matt, we need to do this again. It's Aces and Eights. Cool. Go ahead. It's a freaking pre-tape. Get it right. Don't try it. Don't put it on your show for the sake of reality. It's a pre-tape on a show you taped a week ago. My God. It's one word, but it's weird. Matt Morgan is just standing backstage. I guess these days Matt Morgan is brought into shows to stand backstage and go, wish you didn't suck, Hulk. Yep. Pay me. Like, that's Matt Morgan's entire job. Then we got our second TV title match of the night. Samoa Joe, our TV title match of the night, but it was a proposed one. Samoa Joe versus Devon. This may shock you. The Aces and Eights interfered. Anderson was able to run in, hit Joe with brass knucks. Bada bing, bada boom. Joe's knocked out, and Devon retains the TV title. This was one of those moments where TNA just, they did something dumb. And it's the same thing that I ranted about last week for our .NET members, and that's, well, titles mean power! Titles are power. Man, the balance of power, and this was also in the video package about Jeff Hardy going to the hospital. The heels going, man, it just seems like all the power is, it just seems to me like all the power is going to the Aces and Eights side. They've got so much power. Where'd they get all that power? Man, all that power they've got. Crap, a ding-ding. Power. That's what they're talking about, is power. And this whole... The TV title match. The title that has never mattered. The title that Booker T carried around in a little briefcase to be his vanity project. The title that it was like, well, we don't want to put the world title on Booker T. Let's put it on the Legends title. And then the global title, only to be defended overseas. And then the... I don't know. It was weird. So, finally, power. And they talk about power for this whole match. Well, you know, if you've got more belts, you've got more power. And, man, those Aces and Eights with that TV title, they've got so much power. And the balance of power and the power of the power and the power that they have inside of power with power mixed in and a power beverage. Power is not a commodity that can be won or lost in an athletic competition. When you talk about the most powerful team in the NFL, you're never talking about the team that wins the most, loses the most. No one talks about the most powerful team, aside from, like, man, there's some weird, like, rule change stuff going on, and the owners are debating about it, and this guy, he seems to have the most. But that's on the, like, rules and that side. It's not on the power side with, it's not like power is a real thing. And I guess that's my major issue. Power is not a real thing. It is not definable. It is not measurable. Wrestlers don't fight for power. And all TNA is concerned about is power and the balance of power and the power of the balance of power and the power of Aces and Eights, and they're so powerful. My God. And then someone's like, well, you know, they've got Hulk and Dixie's hands really tied here. How do they have their hands tied? What are Aces and Eights doing? Like, I know they, you know, they won a match and they get access. Aces and Eights, to fight in a TNA ring, I assume would have to have signed TNA contracts, right? Like, just, it's weird. And I know the real sports analogy doesn't work here now. And that's one of the bigger issues that I have, too. Is that the real sports analogy cannot carry over to a invading group. TNA has this real sports analogy going, well, you know, these invading wrestlers, they don't have anything that says there are actual invading, you know, you don't have some football team from the freaking CFL coming down and going, you want it, Patriots? You got it. Let's go. And trying to beat up NFL teams as they run onto the field. That's not a real thing. You don't, in UFC, that would never happen in any real sport. And I know it's not real sport. It's entertainment. And I drive that home more than anyone because wrestling is art. But it's bad art. That's what they're making is bad art. And it's this whole faction warfare thing, it creates bad art, is basically what I'm getting to. And yes, I know, I sound like a grumpy old man going, I want it to be more like the real sports. But it's bad. Like, what they're doing is bad. And the whole balance of power talk is just frustrating and annoying. Joe broke his face on some brass knuckles. And then we got James Storm and AJ Styles coming to the ring. AJ stood outside the ring for a moment, walked away, Storm gave chase, they fought around the ramp, and they had a 10-minute match. There was a commercial in the middle, so it was probably a shorter match with some break, but Styles ended up winning the match with a new leg lock he was using. So Styles wins the match with the submission, doesn't do a lot of the high-flying offense, still comes out to the same song, Get Ready to Fly. Yeah, he's so ready to fly. Yeah, and it was James Storm and AJ Styles having an okay match, 10:54. Post-match, Bad Influence tried to celebrate with Styles. He took them both out. He stared at Storm, and then calmly left the ring. Aces and Eights came in and beat down the men. Bully Ray came in, then cut a promo, first time in front of the live crowd on this show, and said, you know, do you know who I am? I'm the leader of the Aces and Eights. We've got all the power, etc., etc., etc. So much freaking power, I want to kill myself. And then he said, when you're in the Aces and Eights, they never walk alone. The Aces and Eights, when they walk, they are not alone. Okay. Like, I guess my biggest issue right now is just the thematic thing that TNA is doing with power. I think it's a poor choice. to say the least, I think that the faction war is not a quality story. And that the power engulfed inside of it also really hurts what they're doing. That whole angle, there are so many issues with it. And the number one issue with it to me is just how far-fetched it is. And how odd it is. And how, you know, just how unbelievable it is. And that's, it's hard to get over it, and I've tried to buy in, I've tried to get into Aces and Eights. There have been times that Aces and Eights have done well, and there have been times that they haven't, but it's really hard to get into this angle. Talking then about the overall show, they produced something entertaining. There was not a standout match on this show. There was not I mean, you know, the Knockouts match had a chance to be, but it was just so freaking slow. There was not a great segment. There was not anything like, if you miss this show and go back and watch, and then go and watch next week's, you're chill. Like, you're totally chill to not watch this episode of Impact. And I know not every show can be great, and not every show can be very effective, and not every show can be amazing, but you're just kind of, you're fine if you don't watch this one. You know, go ahead and skip it. I'm chill with it. You're chill with it. We'll all be fine. Yeah, it's not that it was necessarily bad. Like, it wasn't egregious aside from the power talk. It's just, it's odd what TNA is doing. It's, and I say that so often. I feel like that's probably the sentence that I have said the most in TNA Impact Audio for the almost 2 years that I've been doing it. It's odd what TNA is doing with their product right now. And they aren't finding a groove with Aces and Eights. They are trying to, you know, I've heard a lot of people say they seem like they're on the precipice, but they aren't there. And they aren't going to get there with this story. That's my main concern, and that it's odd. So, yeah, thank you guys for listening along with me. Thank you so much for, you know, putting up with me screaming about power and the power of power and how power influences power when power is powerful. Power! Yeah. Tune in next week. I'll be talking about Impact again. Hopefully we get a good show. For next week, we have Hyped, a Hulk Hogan and Bully Ray face-to-face confrontation and a Knockouts Championship match between Mickie James and Velvet Sky. Should be entertaining. We'll probably get a Knockouts Championship change here, and we'll get Mickie and Velvet hopefully having an okay match. Velvet Sky, not a good wrestler, so we'll see what happens. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you so much for your support of ProWrestling.net. And anyway, listening to the podcast, going to the website, being a member, check out the membership option, please, because it's freaking awesome. And, yeah, thank you so much, and have a great weekend, guys.